It's a very big honor that I'm able to be back here again, and I want to thank Mrs. Ackerman. She certainly deserves a round of applause. The reason that these shiurim throughout the summer turn out as special as they do, week after week and year after year, is not only because Mrs. Ackerman stays on top of all of the details and the arrangement, but literally the expression when somebody puts their whole lev and nefesh, their whole soul, their whole being into something, I could tell you that's exactly the way Mrs. Ackerman feels about the shiurim, and that's why they are as successful as they are. I want to give her a bracha, and each and every one of you, that in the schus that you put your lev and nefesh into coming, into changing, into enjoying, and being inspired, that we should only know of Yiddish nachas gesunte heit. Mrs. Ackerman just mentioned that this is about the fourth or fifth time in about six or so years that I'm privileged to be here. But I feel a little bit out of place, and I'll tell you why. Every other time that we've spoken in the summer, it was like, of course it's about the 3 weeks. I either spoke to you during the 3 weeks, right before Tisha B'Av, one time it was right after Tisha B'Av, and that's like in the summer, I think, what our comfort zone is. Who feels comfortable talking about Elul? Who feels comfortable talking about the time that we realize, you mean Rosh Hashanah is just a few weeks away? I know that I'm already allowed to start wishing people a ksiva v'chasima taiva, but that makes me a little bit nervous. Now, I want to keep enjoying my summer, and I love the bungalow and the estates and the cottages and the developments. Like, I think you're rushing into the Elul thing a little too quickly. Now, really, I'm speaking to myself. I think I do feel a little uncomfortable. We tend to associate the summer, oh, I know, it's like a cookie cutter. July and August, Tammuz and Av. Now, if you continue that way, you'll pretty much be spending Rosh Hashanah right here. It's not that the summer is early and the summer is late. Elul and Tishrei happens the same time every year. The Shaila is, how ready are we? And so I think it's in that sense I'm a little uncomfortable. Always I'm ready and I tell Mrs. Ackerman, what do you mean what the topic is? The 3 weeks, Shivasar, Tisha B'Av, hello, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. But then I realized, you mean I'm going to be speaking after we benched Rosh Chodesh Elul? You mean like in a few days we're going to hear the Shofar? You could still be here in Sullivan County or Ulster County, wherever you want. That shofar is starting to be blown, and the court case ain't that far away. There's actually someone who was a very famous chaplain for a number of the prisons right near where we are, a very well-known personality, and he would always say, it was so easy to tell who of the prisoners had their court case impending, who had a court case in the next few days. He says, I could spot it a mile away. You know, when I walk in and I see they're very edgy, they can't eat, they can't drink, they can't sleep properly, I know that their court case is coming up. It's so easy, he would always say, to be able to spot exactly who has a court case coming up and who doesn't. Can we be spotted as easily? If somebody were walking by, would they be able to tell if you and I, me and we and us are getting prepared? And so I guess it's in that sense I feel a little bit, but come on, it's August, it's the summer, we're still enjoying, and all of that is 100% true. But it's equally as true that in a few days, there will be Chodesh Elul. Hashem gives you time to prepare for the court case. I, Ephraim Eliyahu, I need to prepare. I know what type of year I've had. Bein Adam LaMokim, Bein Adam LaAtzmai, Bein Adam LaChaveirai. You think I could just walk into Rosh Hashanah and say, I'm here, let's have showtime. Elul is the gift to prepare. We benched Rosh Chodesh Elul. In a few days we're going to start blowing shofar. Now is the time. The way I'd like to divide the talk this morning into three parts, using different letters and acronyms for Elul. Now I know you're thinking like, come on, we know them all. The most obvious one is Elul stands for Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li. And those of us who have learned a bit more will say, oh, I know Elul, Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matanos Lev Yainim. So I know all the mnemonics, I know all the letters. I'd like to decide in this morning's shiur, I'd like to give over three. I almost want to comfortably say that either all the women, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos listening, have never heard of any of them, or maybe at most one, but I could pretty much comfortably say that of all three, something's a chiddush to you. And I'd like to give them, if you're writing notes on the blackboard of your heart, in this order, 1, 2, and 3. What's the first acronym for Elul? I actually said it a minute ago. Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li. So you're thinking, that's novel? Does he think that I mean, I've been coming to these summer lectures for a long time. Of course I know that one. You do? You know what Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li means? You know what it means? I'll tell you what it means. What's the definition of the word Ani? Everybody loves saying it means I. Really? Some people say the word Ani is a makeup, a composition of two words. I'll give you an example. You ever heard of the word Bini, my son? The real word is Haben Sheli. But the conjugation that I make is Bini, my son, which is Haben Sheli. So then what does the word Ani mean? If Bini is Haben Sheli, Ani means Ha'on Sheli. On Aleph Nun. What's an un? If you look it up in a dictionary, you'll be startled to find out un is a direction. I'll bring you a proof in Pirkei Avos. It says, "Me ayin basa ula un ata haylech." What's your direction? So ani doesn't mean I. Or I'll rephrase it. Do you want to know who the I is? Ha'un Shelly, what's your direction? Now that's a pshat. That means the correct definition of Ani L'Daydi V'Daydi Li is Ani Ha'on Shelly. If my direction is L'Daydi to Hashem, then Hashem says the good news is Daydi Li, I'll be there for you. So what does it mean, what's your direction? What am I, a walking GPS? What do I have, a Waze sign on my... What does it mean, my direction? About a year and a half ago, I was going from Miami to Philadelphia for Shabbos. A shul was bringing me in there. And Friday morning, I was flying. I actually had the first row on the airline, left side when you walked on. That means the flight attendant who takes the jump seat and makes her announcements I would watch her diagonally in front of me. About a half hour before landing, she takes the microphone to make her regular announcements. We've heard it in our, we could probably do it in our sleep. We've heard it hundreds of times. We're about a half hour from landing, so please stow your tray table in the upright position. Put your seats forward. Please put away and stow any carry-on luggage as it may have shifted during the flight. As we begin our initial descent into, she looks at me covering it and says, "Where are we headed again?" I said to her, "Philadelphia?" She took the mic and said, "As we begin our initial descent into Philadelphia, please enjoy the rest of your flight and thank you for flying with us." When she turned it off and she was out of earshot, she leaned forward and she said to me, "I want to thank you. You see, I do this so often, back, forth, forth, back. I don't even remember where I'm going. I don't remember what direction I'm traveling in. So thanks for bailing me out." And I thought to myself, Ribbono Shel Olam, I could have heard those words from the Chavos HaLevavos, from the Archos Tzadikim, from the Sharei Tshuva. I could have heard that from the Mesilas Yesharim. This woman is right. What is my direction? Am I coming? Am I going? Am I going? Am I coming? What am I doing? Because there is nothing to make us have that awe and shock reality check. Like when you hear the shofar and you know, this is no joke. And so while I didn't quite hear it from the Rabbeinu Yaina or from the Archos Tzadikim, this woman was right. What's my direction? Elul stands for Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li. The correct definition, I'll word it again, of Ani is I. But who are you? Who is the I? You know who I am? I am the direction that I'm headed in. So do we have it right? Do we have it backwards? Who is the true you? It's easy to escape. It's easy to run away. But facing the reality, who am I? My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, used to give over, I may have even mentioned it here one of the earlier years, although I doubt it because it's for Elul. There was, maybe even some places there still is, a famous department store, Tiffany's. And in middle of the night, could you imagine? You could look this up yourself. In middle of the night, Tiffany's was broken into. So the next morning, the police had cornered off the entire city block. Obviously, you're not going to be able to start. The whole day of business is lost. What a tremendous, tremendous calamity. Tiffany's was broken into. A day of business is lost. So I wonder, what did they take already? What did they steal? They stole nothing. They broke into Tiffany's. And they spent the night rearranging all of the price tags. I kid you not. They took the price tag that was on a $50,000 candelabra and they put it on a $200 golden toothpick. They took a $500 price tag and they put it on a diamond ring worth $100,000. All they did all night was switch price tags. Now naturally Tiffany's couldn't open because how could you possibly open that way? You're going to charge somebody $100,000 for something worth $300? You're going to sell something worth $70,000 for $500? So they lost a day of business. Nothing was taken. The night was spent switching the price tags. And my father used to wonder when it came to Elul, how many of us suffer from the Tiffany syndrome? You know, why should I talk to you? I came to talk to myself. Do I suffer from the Tiffany syndrome? Is there ever a time that I take something in my life that should be the Ikar and I make it the Tufel? Is there anything in your life that's a Tufel and you make it the Ikar? How many of us suffer from the Tiffany-esque syndrome? It's not a joke. How many of us have in our life the Ikar, serving Hashem, cherishing our family, helping someone and wiping away a tear, and we make it a Tufel, non-existent? And then the thing that's the Tufel, but he said, but she said, grizzes and bothers me for weeks on end. My day's not a day, my night's not a night. I lost the whole July and August, and what do I have? Do you suffer from the Tiffany-esque syndrome? Elul is a reality check. Elul is a time to say it doesn't make a difference if I'm still in Sullivan County or in Borough Park. It doesn't make a difference if I'm in North Miami Beach or I'm in Muncie. Don't mess up and switch the price tags. The Ikar better remain the Ikar. And the Tufel should remain exactly that, the Tufel. We just laying today the first part of Parshas Re'eh, the first pasuk. Hashem says, Re'eh anoichi noisein lefneichem hayoim brachu klala. Literally it means Hashem says, today I give you blessing or curse. I think this next one-line zinger is from my favorite pshatim. You know what really the pasuk means, Hashem says? Anoichi noisein lefneichem. You know what I'm giving you? Hayoim. I'm giving you today bracha oiklala. What you do with it, you could turn it into a day of blessing, or you could turn it chalila into a klala. Don't read the pasuk just the regular way Hashem says. Hashem says, Anoichi naisei lefneichem. I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you the most precious, priceless, treasured gift. You know the name of the gift? It's not a watch, it's not a home, it's not a yacht, it's called today. Bracha or klala? Did you use it or did you abuse it? Because today doesn't give you a second chance. Tomorrow does. And that, by the way, leads me into my second acronym or letters for Elul. And I'm still banking that I'm right, that they're ones you've never heard of before. I'm almost willing to bet the first one, that Anila Doidi, Ha'on Sheli, if the definition of I is that my direction is L'Doidi to Hashem, then Hashem says, oh, you got it. Doidi Li, I'll be there for you. So now let's try the second one. The day Hashem gives you, is it a bracha or a klala? What determines that? Perhaps the next one, I know that each of them are my favorite on their own. Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamud. You ready for number two? But get it on the blackboard of your heart. I mean, not just on paper. Like, sear it in your heart in a way that you'll never forget. Elul, spell it backwards. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, when you spell it backwards, spells a word. Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Aleph, Lule. Do you know what lule means? I'll tell you what it means. Ah, lule. If only I would have. Ah, lule. Lule, lule, lule. If only I would have. That's called a life of regrets. That's called a yom day that you could have made a bracha and instead you turned into klala. Lule, I, if only I would have called her when I felt the remorse. Ah, if only I would have called my father more often. I don't have the chance anymore. As a Rav, I could tell you there are people who live and die a whole life of lule. If only I would have, if only I would have, if only I would have. All of us have within us a lule. Ah, if only I would have spent more time. Lule. If I would have listened to myself and made that call. And the list of lules are endless. The only crime is when a person is born, lives, and dies, and their whole life is only lule. I know people like that. If only, if only, if only. Elul is the antithesis of lule. Elul is a time that you take the letters of lule and you turn around and say, I won't push it off. I won't procrastinate. I just read this past week, you know, they have those handouts in shuls of Divrei Torah. I saw such a cute line. It says, you're right. The best time to have planted the tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And I can appreciate that because you say, now I'm going to build a tree. But in 20 years, what was the second best became the best. Elul is a time to turn around, oh, a life of regrets, and if only. Elul, turn it around. Don't procrastinate with Hashem's help. Do it. And that is our lead-in from the first to the second. If you are given a yom, time, a chance, an opportunity to make bracha or klala, people who lead a lule life, it's always a klala. People who are smart enough to get in, as Elul is starting, Be'ezus Hashem will bring them only bracha. And while there's a lot of areas to talk about vis-a-vis regrets, I want to focus on one. It's not too early to talk about the Dalet Minim that we get for Sukkos. There's a fabulous pshat from Rabbi Yecheskel Banet of Nitra. Rabbi Yecheskel Banet of Nitra says, did you ever notice anything funny about the Dalet Minim? Watch me as I give you this 30-second elevator pitch. Esroigim, oh yes, Esroigim, people will spend a ton of money, and rightfully so. I'm not getting into the halacha now. Lulavim. I remember, and I'm not the oldest person in the room, lulavim, we used to bring to shul in that plastic case. Now your mom is protected in a tank. You have a tank for your lulav. Hadassim. Oy, the way we take care of our hadassim, even when we wrap them in the paper towel and the silver foil. What happened to the Arava? What did the Arava do wrong? You ever go to a guy who's selling all four? You spend enough on the Hadassim, the Lulav, and the Esther. I'll throw the Arava in free. After 2 days, the Arava's black and wilted. You have another Arava? Hashanah Rabba, we take it, it's a bruch, it's a blush, it's a haggit. What did Arava do wrong? So he answers, take a look at where the Dalet Minim come from. Esraigim, oh, they come from the finest islands in Italy. Where did the Lulav come from? Certain places in Egypt, certain places in Morocco, Lulavim like you never saw. Hadassim, you want Hadassim? You go to the Orient. But where does the Arava come from? Many, many people, especially in the north, have the Arava growing in their own backyard. And what you have in your own backyard, you tend to take for granted. Oh, the Esrei, the Lulav, the Hadassim, Egypt, Morocco, Italy, overseas, the Orient. Ah! But what I have in my own backyard, we tend to take for granted. And by that I mean our family. Those who are nearest and dearest. You know something? The Gemara says that when you are bringing the Yom Tov of Sukkot to an end, and the Kohanim circle around the Mizbeach, they put down the lulav, they put down the esrog, they put down the hadassim. The only thing you have at the end of Yom Tov, the only thing that you walk around the Mizbeach with is the arava. Because at the end of the day, that's all that you and I have left. Don't get sidetracked with Tiffany syndrome. Don't get enamored with the glamour of something that comes for a moment overseas. The Arava. Now, I'm not suggesting that you turn to your spouse by breakfast and say, how is my Arava? Yeah, that won't bode very well for lunch. But at the end of the day, the Arava that's in my backyard, my spouse, my child, my parent, brothers-in-law, cousins, don't take anyone for granted. Oy lule, if only, if only, if only. That's the way people are day after day and week after week and month after month. Elul is the reverse of lule. Do it. Don't live with regrets. Make sure that you cherish and treasure and let them know that you are the Arav in my life. And at the end of the day, you're all that I have. And nowhere is that more important than in raising our children. We better instill and inculcate in our children the importance of taking care and valuing the Arava. You know, you say something to a child long enough, they'll believe you. I was just recently on a trip and I mentioned a very powerful vart. I'm warning you before I say it, it's a one-liner, but it rips the heart open. And I said this one-liner, I was talking about Chinuch Bonim, and the one-liner that I said was, you know, when a baby is born, a malach gives it a flick, a fleck over here, and that's what causes the baby to forget Kol HaTaira Kula. So somebody told me recently, every parent and every mechanech better know, when you're raising children, you could give the child just one flick and it could cause the child to forget Kol HaTaira Kula. Now, was that really worth it? Because if you say something to a child often enough, they'll believe it. You give them that one-liner, you give them that verbal flick, you could turn them off for 40 years. I just said this over on a tour, and a woman came over to me, a mechaneches, and she said to me, let me tell you what happened with me. I don't know if I would have believed it had it not happened with her. After me saying over this vort about raising children and students and being careful, you could give the one verbal flick and cause them for 40 years to say, I'm buzzing out. This mechaneches tells me she's teaching the kindergarten kids, and in Yiddish she tells the yingluch every day, you pick up your right hand, you put it over your eyes, and you say Kriya Shema. And every day, yingluch, you pick up the right hand over your eyes, you say Kriya Shema. And there was a boy in the second row, he never did it. This is not a joke, this happened. So the mechaneches tells me after a few such times of picking up the right hand, covering his eyes, the boy never did it. She said, Yossi, you haven't done it once, why not? He sheepishly says, I can't. What do you mean you can't? He says, I don't have a right hand. She says, perfectly two hands, perfect, perfect two hands. Yeah, but my mother always says I have two left hands. Had I not heard it from her, I wouldn't have believed it. You know, we hear the expression, two left feet. Every morning, the mother was bothered that the milk may have spilt or something may have happened. So he believed, oh, I have two left hands. I can't pick up the right hand to say Kriya Shema. It sounds funny. It rips our heart apart. I met the mechaneches. So keep telling your child every day, you got two left hands, you can't tie your shoes, you always miss the bus, you get a 60 on your test, you spill the milk. I can't pick up a right hand to say Kriya Shema. My mother said I don't have one. Contrast that with another story I just heard. And I want to thank the person, Reb Eli Dessler from Cleveland. He and his family should live and be well. His father was the famous legend in Cleveland, Harab Nochum Zev Dessler, of the Hebrew Academy fame. Passed away a few years ago, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he, of course, was a son of Rav Dessler, the world famous Michta Me'eliyahu. So I had just mentioned this story that the Mechaneches told me, that a boy believed I have two left hands. And he says, let me tell you the opposite end. When you build up the child, what could be? So on this trip, Rav Eli Dessler, and I told him how appreciative I was, shared with me, you want to know what children need to see? He says, one day his father, Harav Nochum Zev, he was a little boy. And of course he grew up in Kelm, from the Alter von Kelm. And as a little boy, he came home on a Tuesday morning and he saw that the whole house by his parents, his mother and his father, meaning the Michta Melio and his wife, was so Shabbos-dick and so Yomtiv-dick, and everything was set like it would have been the night of the Seder. So the little boy, Nochum Zev Dessler, said to his parents, to his father and mother, the Michta Melio and his wife, it's Tuesday, what's going on? And they looked at him and said, in Kelm today, it's a Yom Tov. Because there was a Sefer, the Chidushei HaRamban al HaShas, that the Rebbe Zalman Meltzer worked very hard to see it get printed. And today that Sefer, the Chidushei HaRamban al HaShas, arrived in Kelm. So today they told their little son, today is a Yom Tov. And I think the reason I was so taken by that story is because 9 out of 10 times, the Gadol is coming. The Gadol is in town. The Tzaddik has arrived. This was his Sefer. A Sefer that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer worked on having printed arrived in Kelm. And if a Sefer arrives in Kelm, it's a Yom Tov. And that's the way Harav Nochum Zev Dessler raised his family and many, many dayors in Cleveland. Let our children see there's a sefer, there's learning, there's doing mitzvahs, that's a yumtiv. If there's something they have to believe in the morning, don't let it be you have two left hands. Let it be that when a sefer is printed, that's a chasana. And so, lulei and elul, it's not too late. A person doesn't have to live with regrets. Figure out who the aravos are and let them know about it. And finally, number three. After we decided ha'on sheli, the definition of I is what's my direction. After we've decided that lulei is a thing of the past, I won't live with regrets. Just do it. May come the nicest part of all. And again, I could pretty much assure you, it's an acronym you have never, ever heard before. In the brach asher yatzar that a person makes after using the washroom, towards the end of that bracha, it says, we tell Hashem if all of our body parts work and if everything was opened and closed. And then we say, "I efshar lehiskayem v'lamoid lefanecha." Without it, it's impossible to present ourselves and stand before Hashem. A few years ago, somebody told me, stop. Look at those words. E F Sharli Hiskayim Valad Moy Lefanecha. It's impossible to stand in front of Hashem if we weren't functioning properly. But start those words. Don't use the first word. E means it's impossible. I can't. Do the next four. F Shar Lehiskayim Vilaamoid Lefanecha. The first letter of those four words spells Elul. Efshar lehiskayim v'la'amoid lefanecha. Now, I don't know why. I remember where I was in Muncie when a Rav told this to me. Maybe it resonates with you differently than me. I don't know. Till today, there is nothing that I find more energizing taking into Elul than that acronym. Maybe the rest of the year there are difficulties. Maybe the rest of the year, EF, sure, I can't get so close. But Elul, you're in the courtroom. Chazal tell us, Elul, we get the closest. Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoy lefanecha stands for Elul. You can do it. You know, the rest of the year, we might feel distant. We might feel it's not as easy. It's a long winter. Maybe EF, sure. At least we think. But Elul, there isn't anything I find more positive than telling yourself, Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoid lefanecha. You can do it. Hashem is waiting. Like the person said who was the chaplain, I can tell who takes me seriously and who keeps goofing off. Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoid lefanecha. You can do it. There's a vart that in my family, it's become my favorite. And the reason that it's become my favorite is my mother, she should live and be well, finds that it's to her the most inspiring thought. And so by osmosis, I feel the same way. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he should take off his shoes because he was standing on Admas Kodesh. Shalom Alecha me'al raglecha, ki amokom asher ato oimid alav Admas Kodesh. So take off your shoes. You cannot wear shoes on Admas Kodesh, sacred soil. So the Arachayim HaKodesh asks the obvious question. Why wait until he's on Admas Kodesh to tell him to take off his shoes? Tell him before he enters, stop, stop. Take off your shoes because you can't enter Admas Kodesh with shoes. Why wait until he entered already? So there's such a powerful answer. It's a life changer. It is really a life changer. Was that ground sacred soil before he walked in? Maybe, maybe not. Was it Admas Kodesh? maybe not. But when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter, Efshar lehiskayem v'lamoy lefanecha, I can do it, to get closer to Hashem, he made it Admas Kodesh. He transformed it into Admas Kodesh. Ooh, now it's Admas Kodesh? Stop. Now you got to take off your shoes. That's a vort. It was not Admas Kodesh, it was not sacred. But because he entered, Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoy lefanecha, I can get close. I have a tshuka, I have a tzimaon, I have an unquenchable thirst to get close to Hashem. He made it Admas Kodesh. Now that it's Admas Kodesh, take off your shoes. I would like to suggest for the final part of the shir that everywhere we walk, we create Admas Kodesh. You know, sometimes it happens in a big neon way, not always. I just heard last week from a wonderful family. It's a lengthy story about how they were makar of someone. I'll push aside the whole story and just give you the elevator pitch. They found someone, a Yid, who unfortunately knew nothing about Shabbos. And they got him to slowly become religious and get into the Shabbos. And it was happening very quickly. And he was losing his friends. He was alienating them. I tell you a story like it happened. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. I just heard it from the people. They introduced me to the fellow. He says, I'm wondering, should I be doing this? I'm losing my friends? Like, God, show me a sign. You want me to do this religious thing? I'll do it. If I shouldn't be, I won't. But God, I need... And he's driving down at night. He's in the car himself, talking to himself. God, you have to show me you're here. Show me a sign. God, I want you to appear right now and show me a sign. The guy wanted to create Admas Kodesh. He's at a stop sign. God, this is the minute. The next second, coming across traffic the other way, where there's no stop sign, is a massive, massive 18-wheel truck. And on the side of the truck, in ginormous neon letters, it said God, G-O-D. It was a truck for guaranteed overnight deliveries. I met the fellow that this happened with. They only have in small print guaranteed overnight deliveries, but to attract your attention, they have G-O-D. The guy just finished saying, where's my Admas Kodesh? And there's an 18-wheeler, God. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. But what do you say that we leave here and really, really create Admas Kodesh? Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoy lefanecha. I can do it. I'll get close to Hashem. And you know what the nicest part is? I will bring about a kiddush shem shamayim berabim. I was just traveling maybe 2 months ago to a weekend convention with our oldest son. He's turning 15, Mordechai, after my father's atzal. And we were flying an airline. We pass out the peanuts and the pretzels. Like there's one pretzel per bag. Like half a peanut. You know what I'm talking about. Yay big. She handed it to me. And I said to her, thank you so much. I kid you not. She jumps back. Mamish didn't take her a millisecond to cry. Non-Jewish woman, big cross on her necklace. I turned to my Mordechai, what do we do? She says, you know, you're the first person to look up and to thank me. I said, lady, I'm in 32D. There was only 33 rows on the airline. I says, 200 people? She said, not one! And then she's crying. She's crying in front of me like she would have been in a rabbi's office. I didn't know what to do with myself. She says to me, in the last 4 or 5 years, nobody looks up anymore. Everybody on a plane is so busy, I'm busy with everything. They just placed their order like I'd be a robot. Nobody has looked up and said thank you. First time I could remember in years. I guess I was privileged to make Admas Kodesh 35,000 feet in the air. She turns to my son. She figured that it was my son. And she says, you learn from your dad. You should learn to be like your dad. You do what your dad does. So my son said, okay. He ordered a Coke Zero and I want a Coke Zero. She said, you know that I meant something else. Perhaps the time that I will never forget what it means to create Admas Kodesh, it happened in the Aventura Mall. I live in North Miami Beach, and near there is an Aventura Mall. It was the type of mistake that a husband, a man, only makes once in his life. You never, ever make, like one never forgets a spouse's birthday. My wife asked me innocently enough, it's the Hanukkah break. Want to go to JCPenney and take family portraits? In a moment of weakness, I said yes. I didn't realize that it was also December 25th break. So I found myself in JCPenney with 40 million other people. It was painful. After many hours of waiting, I told my little kids, let's go outside of JCPenney. About where that exit door is was the exit to the mall. There was a strip of chairs. Let's sit down. I'll tell you some stories. Gedolim, and let's pass the time. We start talking. In the first chair is a black woman, a woman in her 70s. I left an empty space. Then I sat down. And I turned to her, and you never ignore anybody. I turned to her and I said, happy holidays. She turned to me and said, happy Hanukkah to you. Mit der ganze Hanukkah. I said to this African American, that's amazing. How'd you do that? She says, because I used to answer the phone in the 70s and 80s in the Sovereign Hotel. Now, just a little FYI, for those who have been, I'm privileged, my mother is here, a sister of mine is here, I'm living in Miami 46 years, and then they were there as well. You grew up with the Crown, the Caribbean, the Saxony, the Sovereign, Aleihem HaSholem, they don't exist. In the Sovereign, there were a lot of Gedolim, my Zaydi, our Zaydi, Rabbi Yosef Shapiro, used to be in the Sovereign. She says, I say happy Hanukkah because I was always with these great people. And she's describing them. Something in my kishkes I needed to know. The Godel Hador, the Pikeach Hador, Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, stayed in the Sovereign. I needed to know, does she remember Rabbi Yankiv? Now if you think about it, I'm asking a black woman, if almost 50 years later she remembers Rabbi Yankiv, she could have had me locked up for insanity. She's talking about a great rabbi, short man, never could shake his hand, of course. We were allowed to shake the hand of his wife. But all day long, he was nice and kind and getting calls and making calls and answering questions and always smiling. This man was the greatest. So here was my chance. Do you remember that rabbi's name? And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And she had every right to. And after what seemed like an eternity, she says, do I know his name? I'm talking about Rabbi Kamenetsky. Who did you think I meant? If she would have said, the Rosh Hashiva in Torah V'das, Fun Slabotke, he wrote the Emes L'Yankiv, then I would have lost it. Of course I'm talking about Rabbi Kamenetsky. Who do you think I meant? Then she got up to leave. And I was sitting with my children, and my children saw that I couldn't stop crying. You know what you had for breakfast 2 weeks ago? You know what you wore 3 weeks ago? A black woman remembered Reb Yankiv after 50 years, Because everywhere he went was on Maskaidesh. And that's what Elul is about. Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoid lefanecha. I can do it. I can get close. I can make a Kiddush Hashem. I will make Admas Kodesh wherever I go. I turned to my kids and I said, I hope 50 years from now they remember me and you that way. A black woman remembered Rabbi Yankiv because every one of his steps were Admas Kodesh. And so I just want to end with one final story. It's my bracha to every one of us. And I can't thank you enough for coming out. I'm always so inspired when hundreds come out. It's after Tisha B'Av, it's pre-Elul. People are itching to do so many things. And the fact that you still come out means the world to me. So if you have room, let's do one more story. It's my bracha to all of us. Many years ago, there was a yeshiva bacher in the back of a taxi. Now, he was engrossed in his learning, so he didn't realize it was a taxi. He thought he hitched a ride. When he got out and closed the door and said, thank you, he said, I don't believe it. I didn't just hitch a ride. I was so engrossed in the learning, but that was a taxi. I forgot to pay the guy. He forgot to pay the guy. And he felt terrible. And to add to it, the driver was totally, totally not religious. Not religious at all. What, he has to have that impression of me? It was an innocent mistake, I forgot. He runs after the taxi. To make a long story short, he literally chases him 20 minutes. Red light, green light, green light, red light, a mile, six lights. He finally catches up to the taxi driver. He bangs on the window. He opens the window, he looks at the yeshiva bacher and says, Ma, ad po? And he says, yeah, I forgot to pay you, I'm so sorry. Chance to make a Kiddush Hashem, someone who's totally not dati? I'm sorry, I forgot it. He pays him. A few years ago, the yeshiva bacher is not a yeshiva bacher, he's in his mid-50s. He's walking Yerushalayim. Now, as I say, the bacher is in his mid-50s and he sees a sign that a rav that he never heard of is giving a shiur on his favorite topic, Kiddush Hashem. This 55-year-old who was the yeshiva bacher gets a seat, loves the shiur, loves the rav, charismatic, great shiur. The shiur ends. He goes over to the distinguished rav and says, it's my favorite topic and I love it. But I have issue with one thing you said. You said that if a person does a real, real Eretz to Kiddush Hashem, they'll always see the peiros and the fruits of the labor of their Kiddush Hashem. Well, I got to tell you a story that happened to me 40 years ago. And he quickly tells over the story, how there was a non-religious driver, and I ran after, and I paid him. So he says to the Rav, no, where are my peiros? So the Rav looks at him and says, Bubala, ani hanahag, I am that driver. I was that driver. I was so impressed by your Admas Kodesh that I researched my life, I turned it around, and you want to know where your peiros are? Ani hanahag. I was that driver. But because of the Admas Kodesh you created, I am the peiros of your Kiddush Hashem. May it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you take all three definitions of El, not you, we, take all three definitions to heart. Ani l'daydi, who am I really? You know who I am? Ha'on sheli. What is my direction? The ikar is the ikar, the tuffel remains the tuffel, so that every yom is a day of bracha. That only happens one way. Elul, not Lulei. Don't be from the people who will say, I heard that shir in the summer and now it's Hanukkah. Guess I kind of lived the last 4 months with regret. We'll find the Arava. We'll find anyone we may have told you have two left hands. Chalila. And we'll let them know the beauty. We'll raise Be'ezrus Hashem a family who, when a Sefer comes to town, it's a yomtiv. Make it a home that Hashem says, you know, I'm comfortable in your home. But don't live with regrets. And finally, number three, Efshar lehiskayim v'lamoid lefanecha. You can do it. You can create Admas Kodesh wherever you are. Just ask the black woman who knew, of course, it's Rabbi Yankiv, where every step was Admas Kodesh. I had the privilege to do it in a small way, even in seat 32D of Delta. And yes, don't forget, the peiros will be there. Just ask that Rav who said, Ani Hanahag. That was me. We should merit Efshar lehiskayim v'lamay lefanecha, to get close, to make a Kiddush Hashem in everything that we do. May every step that we take be saturated with Admas Kodesh. And in the schus that we internalize all three lessons of Elul, may we all merit a ksiva v'chasiva toiva, a gebench de gezuntiyar, and a year where we enjoy only Yiddish and nachas in the best of health.